It's the CougarFan.com Rising Shot Podcast, episode 371, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. In part two of our discussion of the six greatest teams in BYU sports history, we debate the 2006 football team versus the 1980 football team, and whether the 1990 football team deserves a spot in our top six. Also on the show, Riley Nelson is back calling games now, and early predictions on the 2019 football statistical leaders. This is the CougarFan.com Rising Shot Podcast. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. You should subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever else you find great podcasts. And you should listen to us right now. Sports movies, Matt. It's part three of our sports movies discussion.
This is a conversation that won't go away, but it's a good conversation.
It's like defining a sandwich.
Just except this is going. But this is more interesting than the sandwich thing.
Way more interesting. So Andre Hutchins, he laughed at me on Twitter with a laughing emoji. Well, Andre, to tears.
Laughing to tears. He was ROTFL.
Yes. So that's and he tweeted at us. That's at AC underscore Hutchins. If you want to tweet at us, that's at BYU underscore Rice. Shout. Says the question regarding our game last week, where we decided if Sandlot was a baseball movie or not, is not whether Sandlot was a baseball movie. It was whether it's a sports movie. Adam, your argument validated that it is in fact a sports movie. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. I said you could place anything in there. You could place other sports or other activities in that, and the movie doesn't materially change. But that's fine. I lost.
That's a sports movie.
And he says, Matt, you argued well, sir. You know, I think your tofu beef or whatever these you two have, maybe, does that mean it's done? You and Andre are like simpatico?
I don't think so, because here's the deal. Andre is actually giving you the credit
because
for the win here. He said that your argument validated that it's a sports movie. And then he's like, oh, Matt, like it was a valiant effort.
So you think.
Way to go, champ.
You
keep
think,
it up, Tiger.
Oh man, you guys need to resolve this sometime.
I feel like that's where he's coming from this, and then he comes right back at me with this Creed or
Rocky
movies. If they were, they're by title, okay. They are Creed movies. He also calls them Creed movies
in
his tweet.
The Creed movies are also part of the Rocky universe of films.
Your question is wrong on its face.
What's your face is wrong on its face? What are you talking about?
Like your question is contradicting what your argument. If it's a Creed movie, you wouldn't need to. You would just say Rocky movies are Rocky movies.
Let me ask you a question.
You are putting them in a different category.
Fine.
Of
what do you, what
in
do you
the
define
question?
The Rocky universe as? Because in Marvel. We have
Rocky
Marvel Cinematic
Universe,
right? Okay, and all those movies, I don't say they're Captain America movies. I don't say they're Iron Man movies, right? So the problem isn't in my question. The problem is a double definition. All right, if you want to get all logical, buddy, is the double definition of Rocky movies with a big R or Rocky movies with a little R. So... are the Creed movies in the Rocky universe? The answer is yes. Rocky is in the freaking movies, man. And they're directly related thematically and plot-wise to the Rocky movies. So they're Rocky movies with a big R. All right. Andre's right. He's
Rocky 1 through 5, except I'm really hesitant to include 5.
But do you include Rocky Balboa?
Come on.
I like Rocky Balboa.
No.
You're dumb. All right.
It's okay.
Justin Whiting says, at Jay and Whiting, he says, don't block me, but Field of Dreams is overrated. Blocked.
Blocked.
Not my top 10 favorite sports movies. The Sandlot definitely is, and my wife loves Sandlot. I didn't say no women like Sandlot. I said it's not, like, when I have this discussion about sports movies with female sports fans, rarely is Sandlot in their top 10, right? Because it's a boys coming of age sports movie. Fine, we'll call it a sports movie because I lost that argument.
Because
you
I lost the argument.
You just call it a sports movie.
Being magnanimous.
Oh, that's adorable.
Being a gracious
that's
loser.
That's adorable.
All right? Yeah, you're
a loser. You are a gracious loser.
I'm insulting you a lot tonight. That seems to be my thing. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Because I was correct on this argument about Creed versus Rocky, and the second one is, I got you to call yourself a loser. Like I am winning. Hashtag
anytime you
winning.
Use hashtag winning, you're not. That's a fact. So I'm not arguing that no women like Sandlot or no girls liked Sandlot.
I think that was an exact quote. I think you just directly quoted yourself.
So, yeah. So, another one, Travis Brewer on Facebook, and you can, of course, add us on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. I never heard anybody mention The Natural. It was a dang good movie back in the day. You did, not last week, but the week before you mentioned The Natural. So I'll give you credit on that.
Yeah, I think in the first one. Did I draft it?
I thought you did.
I thought I drafted originally, or was it one of my honorable mentions?
It was either one of your honorable mentions or you drafted it. And I love The Natural.
Oh, because I love the movie The Natural. I saw that movie the first time at a young age. I've always loved it.
So back to Sandlot. Sorry, I skipped one. Wade Hillam on Facebook says, first of all, you need to watch Warrior. Okay. All right. It's on the list. Second, I was born in 88. That
noted.
Just makes me feel old, Wade. And The Sandlot came out in 93. For me, growing up, that was the baseball movie and the one we watched before baseball season. Similar to Remember the Titans and football. I vote it's a sports movie. Also, I'm excited for the best team series, but the 84 football team needs to stay, in my opinion. We'll get to that here in a second. And I know 83 set it up, but that team still owns the only national championship. So we'll get back to that, Wade, here in a second. But Sandlot, I get it. I'm a little older. I was, 17 when Sandlot came out, so maybe, maybe there's a generational thing going on there.
Wait a minute. When did Sandlot come out?
93.
It came out in 93. Wow. Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's cool. So we have a first-time tweetbagger, Matt, and that's...
Tweetbag. He gets it.
Yes,
he does.
Matt Fredden emailed us. You can email us at BYU_RiseShout. No, you can't. That's not a thing. It's riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. That would be Twitter, at BYU_RiseShout.
Right. It's all the same thing, isn't it? It's all the same.
Nat says, longish time listener, first time contactor here. First time tweetbagger, Nat. That's how we usually say it.
That's what we're going to call him. And I'm curious to know
what
longest time.
I'm guessing not like forever. We've been doing this for like almost 8 years. Maybe he's at 5 or 6. That would be my guess. Or maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah, sure.
I was sure someone else would make the case, but I'm going to, so I didn't bother emailing. But here's his case. A League of Their Own deserves at least an honorable mention in our list. Did we even talk about A League of Their Own? That's a
I don't believe
foul.
That we did.
And nobody called us out in the subsequent episode. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a miss. Because that's definitely
a
baseball
movie. And it's a great
movie. Sports movie.
All-star cast, great characters, compelling storylines, and pretty good baseball. Not to mention one of the most quotable lines in a sports movie. Actually, there's no crying in baseball. And that whole Tom Hanks thing. There are a bunch. Tom Hanks, it's one of his... It's not his like best role as far as like Academy Award nominations or anything, but he is amazing in that role. I mean, he's like so spot on and so like he's perfect in that movie. And that whole scene, that line is great about there's no crying in baseball. But then I like the scene where he comes back later and he's trying to be nice. It would be really nice if next time. You could hit the cutoff man. It's great. It's fantastic. Anyway, Nat, you are correct. Party foul on our part. In 2 episodes of discussing sports movies, we did not discuss A League of Their Own. Shame on us.
Yeah, we missed it.
Different subject, he says. How about the men's track team setting an NCAA record by qualifying 6 guys in a single event, the 10,000 meter, for the finals in Austin. Hats off to them. That's amazing. Getting
one
awesome. Person qualified, right, is great. Getting several people qualified, amazing. six people in one event is pretty awesome. So good luck to them.
Yeah, I looked up to see if I could get out there to see some of that in Austin, but the timing doesn't work for when the races are. I might be able to go out Saturday and watch the women, but anyway, probably not going to. It's a whole Saturday, and we've got all the kids' normal weekend stuff. But man, they're killing it, tracking
amazing time. So he says, he ended with, "I really enjoy the show. Thanks for the insights and the laughs. Keep up the good work. Go Kooks." Thanks, thank you, Nat, for listening, buddy. Tweet bag anytime you want. Climb on in. Hashtag climb on in.
Yeah, climb on in, Nat. Welcome.
Pull up a chair. All right, Matt, it's time for the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News. Get all of your
Cougars in the
sports
news
at CougarFan.com. This happened like the day after we recorded, so this is not really news. But Matt, reactions to Riley Nelson is joining Craig Rebell as the color commentator for KSL Radio. It's amazing.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. The only disappointing part about this is that he hasn't grown his hair back.
There's time. There's months before the season starts. Just saying.
True, just maybe saying. He will. He's get that flow going.
I have to say that, did you see the picture of the four radio, the sidelines, and the two of them? You know who looks like he's in the best shape? Mm-hmm. Jason Shepherd.
Yeah, he's in pretty good
shape. Come on, Riley, step up your game, buddy. You're the former collegiate athlete. You can't let Shepherd show you up.
Was Riley in that boxing match they made it a few weeks ago?
So, probably.
They did a couple of old BYU players, a couple old Utah players. And they did boxing.
How did I miss that?
Brian Keel destroyed
some. Why would anyone do it against Brian Keel? Why would someone subject themselves to that?
I don't know. You'd have to be silly. But the guy was they were talking trash the whole couple weeks on Twitter before that, and I think he killed him.
Yeah. That's really not that funny. All right, so Matt, we're going into our popcorn popping segment because no one has helped us rename our main segment, so it's still popcorn popping till somebody does it. But where's your little trumpet sound?
Sorry, I was looking up to see who Riley Nelson had boxed against.
Well, who did he box against?
This thing. Former Utah kicker, Andy Phillips.
He boxed a kicker?
But I don't know the outcome of that fight. That's what.
Come on.
He's a quarterback.
That's not great.
I mean, Riley's got I'm sure he's still got back issues, right?
Probably.
Probably not a good idea. Not.
All right, popcorn popping, buddy.
But I can't find the results. I can't find the results. So I don't know.
I love how you do all of the silly sound effects. It's fantastic. All right. So last week we talked about the six greatest teams in BYU sports history. All right. You can be done. Oh boy, this is gonna wear thin. All right, can you stop?
Are you all right, capable? I'm done.
No, I.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. Please stop. Please
I'm
stop.
Not sure.
Please keep all talking right. before I
Randy
do it again.
Randy Whittle on Facebook had this to say: if you define greatness, and you can define greatness many ways, but he says if you define greatness in terms of historical impact on a program and school, then there's no question that the 84 team, similar to what Wade argued earlier in the show. But anyway, if you define greatness that way, then there's no question that the 84 team has to be number one. If your definition of greatness is based strictly on talent and who could win in a head-to-head matchup, then it would probably that team fall out of the top six. However, it feels like admitting that they're not... that they are not a top six all-time program is giving credence to all of our critics who say we didn't deserve the national championship. So, Matt, before we get into how we define greatness, if we don't put the 84 team in our top six, does that seem to back up what some of the critics of that season say, well, they didn't deserve a championship?
I understand how it might feel that way, but no, because each of these seasons, you have to look at it in their own context, right? So if we had won three national championships, I think we might feel a little bit differently about this, right? Because one of those teams will be better than the other two. And if you've got a team that was really good in a year before or after that national championship year, but there were other teams that might have even beat your 1984 team in that given year, then yeah, it might not be the best team.
Let me ask you a question, Matt. Does that 1984 team undefeated? Does an undefeated BYU team in 1983 or 1990 win a national championship?
I'm going to say no. 1990, probably.
So in 1983, the national champion was Florida. Okay. And they were, let me see, I have this up here in front of me. They were, what was their record that year? They were 11-1. We go undefeated that year. We do not get a national championship outside of Florida. Also, one defeats that year, us, Georgia, Nebraska, Auburn. Okay? Part of this is completely circumstantial. And maybe that's not a great reasoning, but if you looked at the top 10 football teams for 1984, nobody except for Washington was at one loss or tie or less, except for BYU, right? So it really came down to whether you're going to give Washington, which of course Washington fans would say you should have, but the national championship or us. The problem was Washington lost to USC, towards the end of the year, and that's the way pollsters voted back then. The system stunk. But the flip side to this is BYU should have been in a chance at an even better shot in 96, right? So, but the system worked against them that year. I think the argument that they may not be in the top six BYU teams of all time, which we're not even making because we're going to, I think you and I decided last week we're going to put them in, right? But the argument, if they're not, is not, that's about the system that they worked under, not whether they deserved that championship or not. I mean, 84 is a mess, right? Because you don't have a bunch of great undefeated or one-loss teams. You had one in Washington. And that's the year where something weird can happen, like an undefeated BYU winning. You know, Florida had a loss and a tie. Nebraska might have been the best team in the country, and they had two losses, right? And if Oklahoma, that they beat Oklahoma, Washington did in the bowl game, right? This was Oklahoma that they beat, and Oklahoma was 9-2-1, right? So, again, we'll talk more about this when we do our 1984 episode, but I don't think so. I do agree. I don't know if 1984 would be in the top six football teams in talent or not. I think so, though. If we're just doing football, I think. And you were seeding an eight-team BYU tournament, which could be its own episode, and based just on who could beat each other. They're in that tournament, eight-team tournament, right?
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Another day. All right, so Blue Cougar Football at Blue Cougar Football on Twitter says, great show, guys. I realized none of my nominees would make the cut, but they deserve to be mentioned. And we really appreciated your nominees because it gave us a chance to discuss, like, the 1932 team, the baseball team from, what was that, 83? And some of the other ones that he mentioned. So we really appreciate that because that was a lot of fun to go talk about those teams when historically we had not, you and I hadn't nominated them. So it was fun. So thanks for doing that.
Oh, yeah, great, great nominations.
So he says that we have to put 1984 on the list. So we're going to put them on.
Which we did.
So what it really came down to is last week we decided that 84 is on for sure, and 1996 is on for sure. And we have room for one more football team. Maybe. Maybe we end up doing two. Okay? So, you know, because we're going to do two basketball teams, which we decided the two basketball teams are 2010 and 11 and 1980-81, with all due respect to some of the 50s and 60s basketball teams, right? But that's what we decided. And then you waffled at the end, but I thought we had decided we were doing the 1999 men's volleyball team. But you waffled at the end. You're a waffler. You enjoy waffles.
I did
waffles.
Waffle a little bit.
Okay.
I do like waffles.
So let's, for a second, assume we're only going to add one more football team. Our final four candidates, 1979, 1980, 1990, because we hardly talked about 1990. And I feel like that was a problem because Dr. Nick says, I'm amazed that nobody nominated the 1990 football team. I'm not sure I would put it above the other teams discussed, but that team has the single best win in BYU football history to its credit against Miami. Not much of an argument there, right? While the season ended poorly, we're still talking about beating number one Miami and Ty Detmer winning the Heisman. So, Matt, before we get to a poll I put out on Twitter, does 1990 for you, do we need to potentially put that as that third team to join 1984 and 1979? I mean, 1996.
What did the 1990 team finish ranked as?
All right, so we finished 1990 ranked 13th. Okay?
Yeah.
Losses to Oregon, which is was not a great team, not a terrible team.
But not ranked when they beat us.
Not ranked when they beat us, but on the road to Oregon. And then the Hawaii debacle,
yep,
and the Texas A&M debacle there. You know, we did beat a ranked Wyoming team on the road that year, beat Utah that year. But you look at that season, and I don't think I can put it up with the others because of the way it ended.
Yeah, you can't. It just doesn't compete. I understand the Miami win's a really big deal. I understand that the Heisman Trophy's a really big deal, but you're talking about a three-loss team that, you know, finished it, you know, ranked 13th and lost three games to unranked opponents, and that Holiday Bowl loss was just ugly.
Yeah, that Holiday Bowl was that was terrible.
And yeah, the Hawaii loss
is not. I mean, they were 7-5 that year. They were a middling team. The Oregon loss is maybe justifiable, right? The Hawaii loss is one of the most inexplicable losses in BYU history. We should have just absolutely destroyed them, right? And our defense, which wasn't the BYU defense that year, was certainly not the strength of the team. But to give up 59 points and I forget how many yards was just kind of crazy. So anyway, a weird year. But okay, so poll-wise, I had 90 on there. I had 1979, 1980, and 2006, okay? So the winner of the poll, and there were like 50-something votes, so not a huge sample size here, was 2006 with 42%, then 1980 with 29%, then 1990 with 23%, and then 1979 had just 6%, which is crazy to me because that's a way better season than 90 in my mind. I don't even think it's close. Anyway, so I get it historical significance wise because of the Miami win and whatever else, and the Heisman Trophy. So I can get that argument. So Matt, what are those seasons are we putting into the pile?
I think we're taking 2006.
No, we're taking 80. We got to take 80.
Oh, stop it. Really?
I think so.
I was all over 2006 after looking at your results.
I mean, we don't have to blindly follow a poll. What are you, a politician? You love your waffles so much? According to a lot of advanced statistics, 1980 is the best team we ever had. Now, that's not conclusive. There are some that disagree. But according to, say, Sports Reference SRS score, we were the second best team in football that year. So that's my take there on that, is that I just think it's a phenomenal team. 1980 was great. The inexplicable loss against New Mexico, and then we just absolutely destroyed people throughout the rest of the year. 83-7 against UTEP, by the way. It's one of the best scores of all time. 83-7. And then beating a ranked and very good SMU team in the Holiday Bowl too, right? But
and that Holiday Bowl, I mean, that's one of the greatest wins of all time, right? That's one of the most fun games.
Oh yeah, from a BYU historic perspective, it had a massive effect on our appeal, you know, as an ESPN, as they were starting all that stuff, right? It's got a mighty appeal. So.
I feel like 80 and 2006 are kind of similar, right? I mean, they both got a big win against a top 20 team, a loss that's inexcusable. But what the 2006 team also brings to the table that is maybe a negative is their other top 25 team that they played, they lost, right? That Boston College loss hurt you.
Yeah. It's got one more loss.
That TCU win was a big win.
The TCU win was a big win on the road against a very good Horned Frog team. The Oregon team you beat in the bowl was just, you know, oh, they were finished 7-6, right? So unfortunately, because of the way the bowls had shifted by that time, we weren't getting typically ranked opponents in bowls. Like we had in some previous seasons, you know, and you look at, you know, we had the, it's tough. 2006 is a great season. According to that same SRS score, we were sixth in the country, according to the computers, right? So, you know, our ranking of...
I'm going to go ahead and say it's harder to be the sixth best team in the country in 2006 than it is to be the number two best team country in 1980.
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
I think that the competition changed. I think the competition was tougher in 2006. More teams have figured it out. Like, you've got to be better to get up into the top in 2006 than you did in 1980.
I'd have to think about that one. You may be right. I just feel like it's recency bias. All of us who are listening to this podcast, almost all of us listening to this podcast, lived through the 2006 season, right? We can remember it. We know how that Utah game ended, right? I've just recently told, you've heard this story, podcast listeners, if you listen long enough, my experience with that game and missing the final play thanks to somebody fast-forwarding on their DVR.
Awkward.
Yeah, it was bad. We weren't friends with them after that. I don't understand.
I can imagine he didn't invite you back over to his house.
I don't know why. I'm sure I behaved completely rationally.
You were probably flipping over furniture, but that's fine.
It was bad. You cussed. I don't know if I cussed.
I'm going to go ahead and bet that you did.
I might have called him an idiot, but I don't think I cussed.
A flipping idiot.
Yeah. So anyway,
flipping fetchers.
It's a great season. So we've got to make a call, and I guess the decision is, do you include both of them and kick out 1999 men's volleyball?
Oh, geez.
Right? Because you could include both of them. We just would have to exclude, but I feel like we need one of the six teams we discussed not to be basketball or football. And maybe that's
and
a lame...
That 1999 men's volleyball team was amazing. Like, that... I mean, that is a historically good team in their sport.
Yes.
And that's just not – you might be able to make that – see, now I feel like I'm flipping on 2006 and 1980. You might be able to make that argument on the 1980 team based on some of the stuff they did in their context.
Yeah.
But, this 1999 men's volleyball team, you go through this record. I mean, let me just read you some numbers real quick, okay?
Yeah.
You look at these matches – UC Irvine 3-1, UC Irvine 3-0. I'm just going to read down 3 3-1, 3-2, 3-1, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-1. I mean, they throttled everybody with the exception of, you know, a loss, but they throttled everyone they played. I mean, this is one of the best college volleyball teams of all time. I don't think you can't take them off the list.
Well, and like 1984, the big thing they have going in their favor is they won the national championship.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I get there are other BYU sports teams that have won the national championship, and I don't mean any disrespect to any of those other teams. I just don't. Somebody asked, I think it was on Facebook in response to our episode, well, what about, you know, women's basketball, women's volleyball, all those other things? I just don't, I could go look that stuff up, but we're not trying to, the purpose of this is to really have a cool discussion, which we've now done for two episodes in a row, and then we're going to have six individual episodes talking about each of these seasons, right? So that's the real purpose. I'm not a historian. I'm not writing a book, though that would be kind of fun, about the best seasons in BYU history, feeling like I got to put history context. The other part, which was already discussed a little bit from Randy, which is it depends on how you define greatness. And I think we're defining greatness as greatness in their season, greatness in context of what was happening in the sport at the time, and greatness as it relates to other BYU sports teams. We're not saying pitting these teams against each other because, for example, we're talking about basketball and football and volleyball, right? So we can't pit the teams against each other. And
well, if it was a volleyball contest, the 1999 team would beat them all.
Oh, I think so. If it's a football contest, well, we're going to need to do an episode where we seed the top eight teams and then decide who wins. Or maybe we do it over time and we, you know, do a round each week or something.
Yeah, that could be fun.
That could be fun. Anyway.
I can't wait to bring the 1996 team all the way to the ship.
Not a chance, dude. Not a chance.
I guess it kind of depends on how we seed them.
Yeah. Well, all right. So anyway, Matt, the purpose for me here is we got to make a decision. That's not the purpose. I don't know what I just said. The point is we got to make a decision. So you're voting 2006. I'm voting 1980. I think we both just said the 99 men's volleyball team has to stay on the list.
Yeah, they have to stay on the list.
So to review, the two football teams that are a given are 96 and 84. We're keeping both those teams on. In basketball, it's 81 and 2010, 2011, and the 1999 men's volleyball team. So that leaves us with one slot. And we're not expanding it to seven to make this easy. We gotta make a tough. So what do we do? Do we arm wrestle? No, because you'll win.
Foot race?
Say, yeah, foot race. Thanks. How about this? Basketball shooting competition. We'll do a three-point shooting competition.
Can it be a shooting competition in my pool?
No.
On the real little basketball hoop next to the pool? Because I could compete there.
10-foot regulation rim, regulation college three-point line.
This is the same exact thing as me making the suggestion that we race a half marathon.
Yeah. So let's do this. We already asked the listeners once. But I think we'll ask the listeners again, and do we agree to abide by their decision? We'll just put new poll, just the two seasons against each other.
We could do that, or I could call my 4-year-old in here and just have him pick.
No. What about my 4-year-old? Why can't she pick?
I can't control what your 4-year-old is going to pick. I'm pretty sure I can get mine to say 2006.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Let's go to the Twitter sphere. Let's let the people decide.
Wait a second. You can control what your 4-year-old does? I need some. I need some of that juice. Whatever you're doing.
I think I could get him to say 2006. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying.
I can control the mind of a 4-year-old. But technically, he's not 4 until tomorrow. But to say that I could control his mind in any, you know, real meaningful way would be an overstatement.
Toddlers, man, they're my.
They're totally. Totally irrational beings.
Yeah, absolutely. They seem rational sometimes, but they're not. They're not rational.
And the questions. So many questions.
All right, so we'll throw that back out. We had a few other comments. This one is from this is from Preston Paris on Twitter. He says these are his top six football teams. Okay, 84, 90. Oh, his top six teams: 84 football, 90 football, 96 football, 2010, 2011 basketball, 80, 81 basketball, and men's volleyball in 1999. So he is agreeing with us except for something.
Well, he's putting the 1990 football team in.
Oh, instead of 2006 or 1980.
Yep. Then he's got, I think that's about
And he's got everybody else. So he's pretty close. He's pretty close. And then I didn't put who put this down, so I got to go find it. But somebody else has said, you know, 90 would be more fun to talk about than 2006 or 2009.
I disagree. 1990 is fun for like the first 3 weeks.
Then it gets not as fun.
Yeah. I mean, and then, yeah, the Heisman's cool.
Well, the Heisman's
depressing,
though.
The best thing to
talk
about, and then it is, because the very next day it's like, oh. Okay.
It's that day. Isn't it that day? What, or was it the next day? I can't remember.
I thought it was the next day.
I just remember
we'd have to look
him.
That up.
Him, he wasn't in New York, right?
No, he's over television. He's got a lay on and a Hawaiian shirt.
And then he gets the crap kicked out of him by Hawaii. And again, that takes nothing away from the greatness of Ty Detmer that year.
No, one of the greatest college football quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, yeah. And an amazing.
And one of the toughest SOBs to ever play.
Oh,
I mean, just.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, phenomenal. Phenomenal. I'm not taking anything away from Ty Detmer's college football career in our discussion, not to include the 1990 team here. But that 2006 team, I mean, that's a run. There's a run there to talk about.
Yeah, there certainly is a run to talk about there, and I think that's it's amazing. It was. I don't know. Somebody said that, but I apologize for who I missed somebody.
You let the whole team down.
Yeah, I let the whole team down. So we'll let the people decide 2006 or 1980. Matt, today's game is buy or sell. Are you ready for this?
Love it. I love to buy and sell things. Mostly buy, but that's fine.
You know what we forgot? In Cougars in the News, there was another piece. But I don't even want to do it. So let's not go back. It's a discussion about whether we should go back to the Mountain West.
Barf.
Forget it. Barf. I don't want to go back to the Mountain West. All right.
Yeah,
so the
spoiler alert. The answer is bad idea.
Bad
everybody.
Idea. Yes, let's give up millions of dollars.
Yes. We don't like the dollars.
Okay.
We
so
don't
I
want
am,
all of those dollars.
I am going to say one thing about this. Everybody remembers the time in the Mountain West wrong. Everybody remembers 2006 through 2009, and they forget the rest of the time we were in the Mountain West and when we were in the WAC post-1990, and where we had a bunch of mediocre seasons. So everyone's remembering this wrong. They think, oh, if we go to the Mountain West, we'll just dominate. Take the 2017 independent team. How do you think they would have done the Mountain West?
Wah, wah.
I'm just saying, like, everybody, like, oh, if we went to the Mountain West, we'd dominate every year. And their argument about, well, UCF, look at what winning has done for them. What has winning done for UCF? Zero.
Nothing.
5 years from now, they'll be irrelevant, most likely. As most of these teams, Boise has been able to sustain it. Most of them do not. So
I don't know, Adam. I think I could throw this football over them in the mountains. If Coach would have put me in, we would have won state. I'd be soaking up in hot
Boise,
tub.
Boise sustained it. Utah turned it into an invitation to the Pac-12. Hats off to them. UCF isn't getting in to a Big Five conference, despite all the winning they've done. So all this crap about they've won, if we win, we'll get in. We already did that once, and they shut us out. In the 80s, we were one of the best programs in football, probably top 10 in the 80s, and nobody let us in. So winning is not what lets you in. We already know that. Rutgers is in the Big Ten.
Not how Vanderbilt got there, or Kansas.
Yeah, it's either history or economics, right? That's how you get in. And anyway, all right. Our game is not that, Matt. Our game is buy or sell. There was a fun article in Cougar Sports Insider about predicting BYU's statistical leaders, all right? And we're going to start with defense and then go to offense, and I'm going to give you who they predict is going to be the statistical leader, and you're going to either buy or sell this candidate as the statistical leader in that category. You ready?
Let's do this thing.
All right, the first one is tackles. Last year, Sione Takitaki led with 119 tackles. Of course, he's with the Cleveland Browns now. The author of this is Jeff Hansen. Jeff says next year's will be Isaiah Kaufusi. Matt, buy or sell Isaiah Kaufusi as the 2019 tackles leader.
I'm selling it.
I am also selling. Who's your person?
I'm not straying very far from his article, though. I'm going with Zane Anderson.
I'm also going with Zane Anderson. So neither of us are doing that. All
right. Just not original. Come on.
Not original. Tackles for loss. Last year's leader was 10 by Sione Takitaki. Jeff picks Isaiah Kaufusi again. Matt, buying or selling Isaiah Kaufusi as the tackles for loss leader?
I'm buying this one.
I am going to sell, though I don't have an idea yet of who.
Well, okay.
But I just don't think it'll be Kaufusi. I just don't think he's going to be used in the same way, so I don't think, and I don't think he has shown the dynamism, the dynamicness of Takitaki and being able to create the kind of plays that Takitaki has created over the past couple of years. So I'm going to sell that one. Right, last year's sack leader was Corbin Kaufusi with 7.5. Of course, he's gone. He's predicting Lorenzo Fautea as the sack leader. Matt, buying or selling Fautea as the sack leader?
This one's a push for me, so I'm just going to go ahead and buy it. I this one is a hard one to predict.
I have no idea, so I'm going to sell just based on I have no idea. Is it Devin Kaufusi? Is it Zach Daw? Is it Leotawa? I don't know. I have no idea.
I'll tell you, whoever it is, do you know who they're going to have to thank for it?
Who?
Tonga.
Oh,
For messing up the backfield.
Yeah, yeah. Tonga won't get it because
no, but he's going to flush quarterbacks down the toilet all year long.
All year long. All right. Next one is interceptions. Last year, Isaiah Kaufusi and Austin Lee each had 2. Jeff is predicting Trevion Green as the interception leader in 2019. Matt, buy or sell Green as the interception leader?
I'm going to sell.
You're going to sell. I'm going to buy that one. I'm going to buy it.
I was going to actually go back with Austin Lee.
Okay. What about Gunwalaku? A good candidate there?
Gunwalaku's a good candidate there.
So, I don't know. If it wasn't Green, I might go with Gunwalaku. It's really hard to predict the interceptions.
People don't throw a Gunwalaku enough.
It's
going to depend on what else is going on in the defensive backfield. If more opportunities open up for him, then maybe. But if people feel like other places in the backfield are softer, that's where they're going to throw to. And I think that's part of the argument he's making here is that Green's going to have some of those opportunities because he's kind of an unknown commodity.
Yep.
And people know not to throw at Gunwalaku's direction.
Yeah. The other piece is whether we get pressure in the backfield. Because that ends up with random interceptions, right? Where the quarterback's panicking and just throws. And it won't matter if it's Gawalku or anybody, right? They're just going to unload it and it's a bad pass and somebody intercepts it. So we'll see. Pass breakups. Last year, Isaiah Kaufusi and Michael Shelton each had 4. Jeff is predicting Zane Anderson as the leader this year. Matt, buy or sell Anderson as the leader, 2019 leader in pass breakups.
I'm going to go ahead and sell.
I'm going to end up and sell that as well. I'm going to pick. I know Kaufusi did it as a linebacker last year. I'm going to pick a defensive back, and I'll go with Green.
Yeah, I was going to also go with Green for the same reason I was talking about before. I think he's going to have the ball thrown at him more than other people in the backfield.
So he gets much better. So offense. Now we're going to offense. So last year, passing yards, completion percentage, and every other passing category leader was Zach Wilson. And his bold prediction for this year, Zach Wilson. Matt, buyer selling Zach Wilson leading in all passing categories.
You'd have to be an idiot.
Yeah, we're going
to
buy that one. All right, receptions. Last year it was Matt Bushman with 29. Our leader in receptions was 29? Is that even real? Do I need to look that up and fact check that?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's predicting Matt Bushman as this year's reception leader. Buy or sell, Matt Bushman is the 2019 reception leader.
Selling.
I am also selling. I think it's going to be a receiver.
I'll tell you which receiver it's going to be.
Who? What receiver?
Gunnar Romney.
That's who I would also pick. So I think Bushman's going to have a great year. I just don't think he's going to lead in receptions.
Right.
But we'll see. He could. It's not a ridiculous suggestion, right? Receiving yards. Last year was Matt Bushman with 511. This year, Hansen is predicting Gunnar Romney. Buy or sell Gunnar Romney as the leader in receiving yards. I'm buying that.
Oh, yeah. I'm buying that all day.
All day. Receiving touchdown. Last year, Dylan Culley and Talon Shumway each had 3. This year's prediction is Bushman. Buy or sell Matt Bushman leading the team in receiving touchdowns in 2019.
Sell.
I am buying that.
Oh, I'm taking Gunnar Romney for the sweep.
For the sweep, all right. I think Bushman's red zone target number one. All right. Rushing yards. Last year's leader was Lopini Katoa with 423 yards. Our leading rusher had 423. A lot of injuries last year. An unfortunate reality. This year's prediction, newcomer Tyson Williams. Matt, buying or selling Tyson Williams as the 2019 rushing yards leader?
I'm taking Williams.
I am selling that.
Oh. So where are you at here? Who is it? Okay.
I mean, listen, I think Katoa's the guy. I think Tyson Williams is going to be a big factor and probably second on the team in both carries and yards. But I'm putting my faith in Katoa as the guy. But I could be totally wrong on this. I just think it's easy to pick the newcomer because they're shiny and new as opposed to the guy that was already there. And Katoa ran the ball well when he was healthy last year. For example, rushing touchdowns. Last year's leader was Lopini Katoa with 8. And Jeff predicts this year, Emmanuel Esupa, also a newcomer. I think Jeff likes shiny things. Buy or sell Emmanuel Esupa. How do you say that last name? I don't know. I need to wait till an announcer tells me how to say it. Buy or sell Esupa as the leader in touchdowns for 2019.
I think I have to sell that.
I'm selling. It's Katoa or it's Tyson. Whoever's getting the most carries. I don't think because he's bigger. I hate that crap. You know, if this starts happening where he gets carries in the red zone and isn't very good at it, I'm going to go ape like I did a couple years ago. Who did they keep handing it to? Algie Brown? Because he weighed the most of the running backs? That's a terrible reason to do this. But anyway, I'm getting mad about something that hasn't even happened
yet. It's not even a thing. You're getting mad about something that's not
I'm getting mad about Jeff Hansen thinking that maybe that's a thing. That's what I'm getting mad about. So that's ridiculous. So anyway, you know who should get the short yardage situations? The best running back you have.
That's the route I would take. And
guess what? I know I'm weird like
Zach
that.
Wilson.
I mean, like, in short yardage situations, did the Lions take Barry Sanders out?
No, it's like, let's get down to the red zone. We put a whole drive together. We're into the red zone. Switch it all up, everybody.
Everybody out. Let's put in the second quarterback and a running back that they can't find a hole to save his life.
You've been standing around on the sidelines for 15 minutes. Why don't you go in and we'll give you the ball?
All right.
It's a great idea.
So anyway, that was a fun game. We will get back to this later this summer when we do our preview show, and we will have completely different predictions at that time than what
Excellent.
We just said. But
Excellent.
I thought that'd be a fun game based on that article that was that popped up this week. So Matt, our final shout is Dr. Nicholas Nelson on Facebook. He says, after reading Bill Connolly's preview and then listening to you talk it over, I have come up with a fun little counterfactual. Suppose that, by the way, what is a counterfactual?
I don't know. Well, here's a good example of one, right. Apparently.
Suppose that BYU...
I don't argue with Dr. Nick.
Yeah, don't argue with him. Suppose BYU had joined the Big 12 in 2011 rather than going Indy. I think that BYU's on-field product over the past 8 years would look almost identical to what actually happened. There would have been marginal swings in revenue and recruiting, but nothing game-changing. I think even in the Big 12, Bronco would still have left for Virginia, we would still have hired Satake, and Satake still would have hired Detmer. Maybe we lose a couple more games to mid-level Big 12 teams instead of beating the dregs of the Mountain West, but in terms of overall quality, I think BYU would have produced roughly the same top 50-ish teams for most of the past decade. Am I crazy? Matt is not him. Not is he crazy, because neither of us are qualified to make such an assessment.
And I don't know him nearly well enough to even try.
But is his idea off? I don't think it's off.
I think he's spot on.
I think I would tweak a couple of things, okay? So, but this is all, you know, wild speculation about a what-if scenario or a counterfactual, all right?
So, just so that you know, a counterfactual is relating to or expressing what has not happened or is not the case. So a counterfactual conditional statement could be something like, if kangaroos had no tails, they would topple over.
Thank you, Mr. Wikipedia. You're very helpful. Okay, so I don't think Bronco leaves. Do you think Bronco leaves?
Yes.
I don't think so.
It might not be for Virginia, and it might not be that same year, but I think Bronco leaves. I think Bronco...
Well, I'm not saying he would have coached till he died. I'm just saying, we go to the Big 12
and Bronco Mendenhall is now immortal.
Yeah. I still think he'd
be the
coach.
All six Infinity Stones.
Yeah. That's right. He snapped his fingers.
No, I think he does go, though. When he left, it became about, I want to see if I can do this at the big level. And I think it still becomes that later.
He's at the big level if he's in the Big 12.
Yeah, but you're hamstrung at BYU. You just are. It's just a fact.
Which, by the way, Virginia's a big sleeper pick for, like, top 25 this year.
And in some ways, he's hamstrung there, right? Because I don't think they're as flexible on some of their academic requirements as some of their ACC rivals.
But, and they're not going to commit the type
kind of
resources.
Money in staff and all right, this stuff.
Yeah. Though they're paying him quite well, and his staff is doing...
But it's not BYU in the Big 12. It's a different situation. So I think eventually Bronco does leave, and I think a lot of this other stuff does kind of play out in that way. Who knows if Satake still hires Detmer? I think Satake still is the hire, though.
So here's the thing. My counterfactual is Bronco is still the coach today, if he leaves in the next couple of seasons. That's my counterfactual. He leaves after a year in which BYU has a decent year, you know, finishes second in the Big 12 or something. I don't know. It's a good thought exercise. I think his point about revenue and wins and recruiting, do we really believe that BYU's recruiting, and I don't mean, because there's been a couple of rough years, right? Broncos classes were usually in the 40s, right? 50s, and some of these classes now are closer to late 50s, 60s, right? Do we really believe if BYU's in the Big 12 that we'd suddenly have a top 30 recruiting class? I don't.
No, come on, guys.
There's too much restriction. I think BYU in the Big 12 might land a few four-star LDS recruits that they lose today. I think that's your difference, which is a big difference. So I'm not downplaying this, right? Because an extra one or two, four stars each year is a big deal to your program and its depth and its quality. But I don't think it's like all of a sudden BYU is a top 25 recruiting program because they landed in the Big 12. And I'm arguing a straw man. I don't know if any of our listeners would actually think that would be the case, but. Interesting thought exercise.
No, this is a great counterfactual.
Oh, dang it. You beat me to it. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Matt, anything else you want to say before we depart?
Hey, everybody, you know what to do when this Twitter poll comes out. 2006, baby. Do the right thing.
Do the right thing and vote for 1980. Don't let your recency bias go back Take a look. Examine the facts. That's all I ask for.
And choose 2006.
And choose 1980. So we will be back next week not to talk about the great six. We're going to come back, even though I said last week we were going to do it this week, but there was just too much debate left open on this greatest teams thing. We'll be back to talk about the Dante's Circles of College Football Hell. So
we're finally going to do this?
We're going to finally do it. We're going to finally do it. And sorry, Ryan Crockett, that it's been like 4 months since Ryan asked us to do it. But
we've had his contribution to this lingering at the bottom of the agenda for months.
Months. I don't even remember how long now at this point. But doesn't matter. We're going to finally do it. I've got my I got my ideas put together, and I'll send them to you, Matt, so you can think about it. I'll send it to you about 15 minutes before we record.
Oh, so you're going to give me some lead time. I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be great. Well, anyway, you, of course, if you would like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/riseandshout. Gosh, this is like the worst outro I think I've ever done.
It's up there.
Anyway, thanks, everybody. You're awesome. We'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
I'm the worst.
I nailed my part. I don't know what's wrong with you.
No, you didn't. That was a weak go Cougars.
Nailed it.